set at Boaters.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather round. Please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the great book of Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 1, where we left off last time. Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 1. Originally, all of the minor prophets were in one book, and all of them prophesy of these end times. However, the book of Zechariah has more prophecy of these end times than all of the other minor prophets. Now, God has been giving a series of visions to Zechariah of these end times over a period of 7 years, from 410 BC to 403 BC. That is a type and shadow of the reign of Antichrist, which was originally 7 years, as it is written in Daniel. However, thank goodness, Jesus shortened it for the elect's sake in Mark 13. And so now, the chapter 10 is going to make everybody happy because it's titled Restoration. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord. Well, that'll preach. Ask ye of the Lord. Now, the book of Proverbs says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. You're a king and a priest. You are honored to be able to search for the sacred secret, the greater truth. The gospel, or rather the book of James, says you have not because you ask not. And Jesus says in red letters, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the Greek, these three verbs accelerate with each one in more intensity and more passion. Ask, seek, knock. All right. Now, but what are we supposed to ask? Remember, this is a prophecy of the end times. Well, I will say this, level number one. When you need something for God's work, don't go around the mulberry bush. If you need money, don't call it finances. Ask for money. If you need food, say food. If you need a car, say car. Don't just say provision specifically. But now we're going to find out what we really need to ask for here at the end times.
In the time of the latter rain.
Oh, the time of the latter rain. All right, the latter end of time. Now here's what we suppose. He's going to tell us what to ask for, the latter rain. Now, the farmer has to have the former rain. He tills the soil and plants the seed. But the former rain, the first rain, waters that little seed and causes it to sprout. But if it does not receive the latter rain, it just is a sprout, and finally it dies out. Okay. But he needs the latter rain because the latter rain causes that little sprout to come up through the soil and blossom and spread abroad abundantly, bearing much fruit. Now, most of you under the sound of my voice, I hope all of you, have had the former rain. You recognized you had sinned, and you heard that God had come down to planet Earth, Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of the Son, paid the sin debt, shed his blood for your sins, died for your sins, and arose from the dead. You believed, confessed your sins, and accepted Jesus. That's the former rain. I'm sorry to say, a lot of you just been sitting there, little sprout, no fruit coming out. Okay, you need the latter rain. What is the latter rain? Jesus talks about this in Matthew 13. The latter rain is the thing kept hidden from before the foundation of God, the sacred secret, the greater truth, the mystery of God. One of the things that's kept hidden from you, Christian, is 2 Peter 3:6. That there was a world that then was. World in the Greek ian means age. And another thing that has been kept from you and is a part of the latter rain, the greater truth, is that in Isaiah 4, you were those stones of fire. Now remember Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. So you were there, not in a flesh body. You say, I was a stone of fire. Yes, Peter calls you a living stone. And Malachi 3, 17 says, you're a jewel. A jewel is a stone. There you were. Why were you called a stone of fire? Hebrews 12, 29, God is a consuming fire. You are a jewel of God. Haven't you ever called someone you love, that is my jewel? Absolutely. Now, here you might not know this, that all of God's children were there. We're all created at the same time in a spiritual body. And Isaiah 14, Satan said, I will be God, and he betrayed God. And right up front, one-third of God's children, Revelation 12, followed that old dragon, the serpent, the devil, Lucifer, and those children are called stars, children of God minus the flesh. And so they divorced God. But there was another third that sat there, like the church of Laodicea, lukewarm, room temperature, just watch the show. Jesus said, that's the worst of all. But now, here's the latter rain for you elect. There was a small group that got right up and defended our Father. And when Michael said, come up, I need help, the archangel, we fought with Michael and Michael's angels, and we fought against the devil. That's the remnant that's been sent out in every generation. So that's a part of the latter rain. So God made this second earth age one time in the flesh, and the elect are sent out to bring forth the divine declaration of God, the oracles, the truth, the greater truth, the mystery, the sacred secret. Everybody else has been able to come through to accept Jesus or the devil, because it was in this second earth age that Jesus came and paid the sin debt. The latter rain is that there was a seduction in the garden, and the devil has a child, Cain, and his descendants are the Kenites. They pretend to be our brother Judah. They give us a bad rap. They hurt. They're taking over our country. And that's part of the truth. The fallen angels, Genesis 6, they're coming back very soon. And they're going to come into the Christian church in places like this. And they woo and they flatter. The latter rain is the order of the seven trumps. There are seven of them. The latter rain is that we're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. You're learning something now if you have not heard this before. The sixth trump, the Antichrist comes. The seventh trump, Jesus comes. Now, that's just a mercy drop. We just sang showers of blessing. That's just a mercy drop of truth. But that's the latter rain. Now, some of you said, I didn't know that. I wasn't even asking for that. Well, I just gave you that.
Okay. So the Lord shall make bright clouds.
Oh, so if we ask for the latter rain, elect, remember this Zechariah is addressed really to God's elect, the carpenters, the firebrands. He'll make bright clouds. What does that mean? Bright means lightning. And the psalmist says over and over, God's arrows are his lightning. Now, Zechariah calls us firebrands. Elect carpenters, you are the firebrands. God equates himself as an archer, and his bow is Jesus, and he shoots out his arrows like lightning. What does lightning do? It becomes a form of nitrogen. When nitrogen lightning hits the soil, that little sprout comes out. The lightning, the nitrogen, causes the plants to grow, the seeds to grow. So you, elect, are like lightning. When that truth comes through you with the fire of God, wherever there is a pliable feel, a pliable heart, the nitrogen of the truth coming out of your mouth causes the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to grow and blossom abroad abundantly. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 says, you Christian are trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord. Now you got a new name, elect. Now you're nitrogen.
And give them showers of rain.
We have a hymn of the month here in my school every month. And for April, since we have showers of blessing. Ezekiel promised there would be showers of blessing. And so he says there will be showers. He will give us abundantly, abundant blessings of truth.
To everyone, grass in the field.
Jesus says the field is the world. Now, while there are not that many elect here, Romans 11 gives us a spiritual number, 7,000. The truth with lightning going through like nitrogen from an elect's mouth, when we get on the air, it can go all over the field, all over the world, and one elect and how much more when we have two or three. With that nitrogen truth, it's enough to feed the entire world. Despise not small beginnings. God in one is a majority.
Verse 2, for the idols have spoken vanity.
Oh, vanity, Hebrew, avin, beth avin, emptiness, nothing. What are the idols? The Hebrew word is teraphim. Teraphim, heard that word, teraphim. This is a household idol. This is an idol that one gets very comfortable with. Oh, you love Jesus, and you live for him as much as you can, but you hold on to your household idol. It can be a congregation where you know perfectly well you do not get book, chapter, verse, and line, or the third mystery, the sacred secret, but you're comfortable with the people. And so you just go there and don't get the truth. It can be your child. It can be your mate. It can be your hobby. It can be your cell phone. It can be your internet. It can be texting. It can be your boat. It can be your car. It can be even a denomination if you are not getting the word of God there. Household idols. There's an example in the Bible. Remember that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, went to work for a very greedy man, for the man's daughters. And Jacob was very much in love with beautiful Rachel. But the father of Rachel tricked Jacob and gave him weak-eyed Leah. Wow, that's a rude awakening coming out of your wedding tent. But anyway, Jacob was good to Leah and had children by her. And then he worked quite a few more years for his father-in-law to marry Rachel. Finally, Jacob had enough money, he had earned sheep and everything, to take Leah and Rachel, the beloved wife, back to his home and back with him and away from their father's house. However, Rachel was comfortable with the household idols. So she stole from her dad two household idols, two teraphim, and she put them under her camel seat, and then she went on with Jacob. Now, the father-in-law wanted Jacob to stay anyway because Jacob was making a lot of money for him. So he runs him down and he says, you have stolen my household idols. You have stolen my teraphim. Jacob says, we would not do that. We don't want your household idols. You may search everybody. You may search my two wives. You may search the tents. And anybody in whose tent you find those teraphim, those idols, they will die. Uh-oh. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Well, the Bible says that Rachel sat upon those idols, and she had taken them. We do know that Rachel died in childbirth. Be careful, your household idols will kill you because they would keep you from the greater truth. Now, in fairness to Rachel, we know that she was a true daughter of God, but she was comfortable there. This was the first time she would leave home, even though she loved Jacob. She was going to a new land, a new life. So she wanted to hold and be comfortable. What is it that you're so comfortable with that is preventing you from being a great Christian? Beware your household idols, Christians.
And the diviners have seen a light.
Diviners. In the Bible, a diviner is a seer, S-E-E-R. Now, a seer is a prophet if they're true. One of the nine gifts of spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, is the gift of prophecy. And God gives that gift that we see things that are going to happen in the future. We look at a person, we see something about them, or we see into heaven. He takes us in the heavens and show us things. So there's a very good gift. But we have false seers. They tell you, oh, young, beautiful girl, there's a tall, dark, and handsome rich man going to marry you, and he's going to give you a palace, and you're going to live happily ever after, when in fact, she's going to marry somebody else. You see, it's a false lie. I just say that because I used to have a friend. She said, let's go get some prophecy. This is in my earlier days, and I just didn't particularly want to, but she'd say, I want to hear something good. Have you ever thought about if a person's a true prophet, they might have to tell you something bad once in a while to jerk you back in line? Hallelujah. Okay, so we have that. Be careful.
And if told false dreams.
And if false told false dreams. That would be Margaret MacDonald in 1832, the lie fly proverb. God says in Ezekiel 13, King James Version, not any of those others, King James, He says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. The lie fly proverb. It's a fable. It's a dream.
But comfort in vain.
It's vain comfort. People say, I just don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes. I want to fly away in my hot air balloon. We just talked Zechariah chapter 5, and he said, Mystery Babylon is the church deceived that goes to the first harvest, and that fly away is led by a dark, dirty bird, and you're not getting to heaven, and you're not getting back. You go into a place called Shinar. In the Hebrew, means confusion, and the devil is the author of confusion. If you go to the first one that comes in the sky calling himself Jesus, he is the Antichrist, and you're going to the devil. That's what it said. You want to be comfortable. You don't want to face anything. Come on, hothouse. Linus, let's get some face muscles.
Therefore, they went their way as flocks.
Sheep are so amazing. The shepherd, you know, wants to protect the flock. If you don't watch them every minute, away they wander over here. They'll go into the bear's paw and the lion's teeth, and the horse will kick them, and they'll go over the edge. I cannot tell you how many times precious Christians I've loved, come back, you're going too far. Look out, you're going there. Christians want to go hither, thither, and yon to get a new word, a new sound, and everything that is beautiful, exciting, and glorious, or romantic, and God is from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Every thrill, every excitement, every dream, every vision, he wrote it in the love letter. Why would you look elsewhere?
Amen. They were troubled because there was no shepherd.
Okay, now it's talking about Jacob's trouble, the time of the Antichrist. Those people who have not had someone to teach them the truth of the order of trumps will worship the Antichrist who's coming in the sky, Revelation 12, pretending to be Christ, and they are very troubled. The word pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, comes from the word pastor, P-A-S-T-U-R-E. And a pastor is to feed good pasture. Like we just said, not only the former rain, we get people saved because we have to feed the lambs the milk. But then we go on to the greater truth, the sacred secret.
Tree, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats.
Okay, judgment begins at the pulpit. False shepherds, even in ignorance, leading people astray. But who are the goats? Okay, the goats are the political leaders, not only of our brother Judah over in Israel, those two tribes, but especially the political leaders in the United States of America. Remember, those 10 tribes broke off from the two tribes, were captured, migrated into Europe, migrated into America. So the seed of Abraham, called the lost tribes of Israel, only lost because somebody doesn't know the Bible, are here. So this is God's people. God's very angry with the goats, the goats that come in and try to lead the sheep. God is very angry when a leader of America makes a treaty with an enemy. That is in Daniel 11, 19, just before Daniel 11, 20, the raiser of taxes, just before him comes Iran, who says death to America. God is very upset about that. But that's not all. God is very upset with the political system that says we're for the good and freedom in America. And yet when they get to Washington, they become all one party, and they grease their own hands and palms and get their money. And when an outsider comes that God has lifted up from the seed of Abraham to shake things up and expose, they get very upset. God does not want this subterfuge. God does not want voter fraud in America. God wants America to repent and turn back and make Jesus the Lord and the Bible the book.
Amen.
For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock.
He has visited his flock. In the book of Revelation, Jesus walks among the seven candlesticks. That's the type of all of the Christian churches on round planet Earth. And he checks them out. He's checking them out, and he's checking them twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. We find he only has two type churches that please him, Smyrna and Philadelphia. Trumpet of Truth is Smyrna. Trumpet of Truth is Philadelphia. Because what these two churches do, they tell you who those are, who say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Well, who are they? 1 Chronicles 2:55. These are the Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. And they give our brother Judah a very bad rap. So the other five types do not please him. He walks among the candlesticks. He comes in and he checks and he checks and he checks. He says to the church, repent.
The house of Judah.
All right, the house of Judah.
And it's made them as his goodly horse in the battle.
Okay, it's made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Now, Jesus came through the tribe of Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. The key of David, part of that is to let you know, of course, the mystery of God, but lets you know that Jesus came through the lineage of King David, who was of the tribe of Judah, of the stem of Jesse. Mary, of course, had no man to impregnate her. That was an immaculate conception by the Holy Spirit. So her father's seed was in her, and her father, Heli, Luke will tell you, was of the tribe of Judah. But you know, Jesus is not only our king line of Judah, he's our priest. The priest tribe is Levi, and Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Elizabeth had to be a full-blooded Levi to marry the Levitical priest there, Zechariah. So Mary's mother and Elizabeth's mother were sisters. So Mary was by her mother of the tribe of Levi and by her father, Judas. So Jesus is king and Jesus is priest, ever living to make intercession for us. Now you, after you elect, accepted Jesus, and after you got the sacred secret, the latter rain, now you're lightning arrow, and now you are a war horse. Hallelujah.
For out of him came the cornerstone.
Okay, out of the tribe of Judah came the chief cornerstone, Jesus.
Out of him, the nail.
And out of Jesus came the nail. What does that mean? Nail in the Hebrew means a tent peg. Jeremiah chapter 24 says, do not use a grapevine for a tent peg. Now, some time ago, I used to get beautiful white party tents. I love tents. And I would decorate the back parking lot with lights and put up a tent there for my music students. Programs are very spiritual. And when we first started, we'd put it up and we'd kind of tie a little string on it. And, oh, he's so cute, you just sit there. Next morning, I'd check it out, and my pretty white party tent had flown over to the park. And the Incredible Hulk here, your fearless leader, had to come and bring it back. We learned to secure it with a strong tent peg. Now, you elect are a tent. In classical literature, there is a line, it says, when you die, you fold your tents like an Arab and silently steal away. If your tent, your spirit, your soul is rooted and grounded and a strong tent peg in the Word of God, you will not blow away.
Out of him, the battle bow.
Oh, out of the tribe of Judah, the battle bow. All right, this is beautiful. The Holy Spirit just gave me something just before you came about this. It was a flash revelation knowledge. I had it right, but he showed me something very beautiful. Jesus is your battle bow. All right, battle, what does battle mean? War. Okay, Jesus came to fight a battle, right? And he fought death. Hebrews 2:14, Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil. That's the battle. Well, what does the bow mean? In Revelation chapter 4, we see the real Jesus with a rainbow, a bow, it says a bow, around about his head, listen carefully, likened to an emerald stone. The emerald is the Hebrew wedding stone. So Jesus came to battle death, who had stolen Jesus' wife. So he's going to get his wife back. Battle, to conquer and to conquer, defeat of death, both, and so the wife can again be right around Jesus' head. Hallelujah, yeah, marriage, yeah. Supper of the Lamb. I love that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Out of him, every oppressor together.
That means the exactor. In other words, Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil, and all of his demons. Now, you Christian, Jesus says, you have power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do not be afraid. There are demons. The river Euphrates has been loosed in Revelation. They actually come in, and they sometimes have a body. They sometimes come in. They have taken over a person so much, we are not afraid of them. We just lift up our hand. In the name of Jesus, we defeat them. Okay, let's try something here. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now he's talking about you. All right, now, let's just say the devil is coming against you. Demonic forces are coming to interrupt the flow of God's word or to interrupt your life or to keep you from being where you need to be. All right, everybody in cyberspace, let's go. It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the power of the blood of Jesus.
By the power of the blood of Jesus.
I condemn every tongue coming against me.
I condemn every tongue coming against me.
All right, is it fear? Fear, I condemn you.
Fear, I condemn you.
Sickness? Sickness, I condemn you.
Sickness, I condemn you.
Not enough? Not enough, I condemn you.
Not enough, I condemn you.
Do you understand anything? Whatever the tongue is, the doctor's report, the pink slip, whatever it goes, whatever is negative, that is a tongue and you condemn it. That is your authority. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember that. And don't go on the defense, go on the offense. Go and charge, go and charge and get them. Go and get them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now,
five, and they shall be as mighty men.
Oh, the word men here is in italics. Anytime in the King James something's in italics, the translators put it in there for clarity's sake. Usually I wish they would leave it out. God did not say that. Guess what mighty means? Excuse me. Mighty means hero. H-E-R-O. Now, excuse me. Now, for every time you lightning arrows elect, every time you go to a lost soul, and as Jude says, you pull them out of the fire, to them you are a hero. But you're also a hero to our Father because He told you to pull them out of the fire. Every time you see a soul wrapped to the circle of death, and you go in there and pull that little lost soul out, you're a hero to them. Every time you do all you can to lay hands on the sick person, whether it works right then or whether it not, you're a hero because you obeyed. Every time you give to God's work, you're a hero. Every time you praise the Lord and stand your ground for Jesus, you are a hero. Now, I'll tell you when you're going to really be a hero. It's recorded, excuse me, in Ezekiel chapter 44. This records the prophetic millennium time after Jesus returns and after we've returned into our spiritual bodies. The Zadok, the elect, the carpenters, the firebrands, the lightning arrows will be teaching. And in Ezekiel 44, you will be a hero, elect, when, 44:25, you may go to father, mother, brother, a sister that hath no husband, and you may reckon with them, and then you may go to Jesus and plead for them. Talk about a hero. You want to be a hero. I want every day of your life be a hero to someone. When you feel someone's pain and you don't sit and stare at them about it, you get over there and cry with them and you do what you can to wipe it out, bear one another's burdens, you're a hero. Anytime you rescue some, go like a fireman and get the people out of the lake of fire. Go like a policeman and pray for them and put that shield around them. Wrap them up in the threads of God's scroll, His word. You're a hero then. Hallelujah.
Which tread down their enemies in the mire.
And when you find your own Christian brothers and sisters who have sunk into the mire of sin, they've gone so far astray, when you go and with the truth of God like nitrogen coming out of your lips, you pull them out of the mire and you set them on a rock to stay, you are still a hero.
Of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them.
The Lord is with you. There is a great man. I don't often quote books, but H. Richard Hall, he's in heaven now. He wrote a book, Chosen, Called, and Elected. He went into a cave for 40 days, and God gave him visions. And in his book, I have the book, he says in a page there, at these end times, it's going to be up to that little small group, the warriors, the heroes. We are going to be a part of the restoration of the church, and a restoration of our country and of God's people. By the way, we're doing that here on Wednesday night, Wednesday Warriors Work. If you're an elect, come and join us.
And the riders on horses shall be confounded.
Now that's the riders on that other, serving that other father. In other words, the horse is a symbol of power. The children of the devil and his fallen angels coming with him, they'll be confounded. Confounded means confusion. Who's the author of confusion? The devil. Okay, so they're going to the devil. Oh.
6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah.
Okay. Judah, the house of Judah, was really strengthened when in 1948 Israel became a nation with again. The 12 tribes are not there. This is where people do not understand. We have 12 tribes. All of us are called Hebrew. There are 2 tribes went back there, Benjamin and Judah. A part of Judah is on the throne line in England. Now, those Kenites went back with them. But we also have the 10 tribes.
And I will save the house of Joseph.
And that Joseph is a symbol of the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, captured by Sennacherib, migrating into Europe. Joseph had 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. The 10 tribes began to call themselves Ephraim, came over the Atlantic Ocean and settled the United States of America. Now, you know how Joseph said, the enemy meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. I want to tell you something. In the Minor Prophets, they remember they're all one book. The book of Hosea, God told Hosea, go and marry a harlot. Because I want you to know my heart, Hosea. I want the people to know how I feel when my children go a-whoring after another god. Well, Hosea and the harlot's first child was called Jezreel. Jezreel names means to scatter and sow. Now listen, if the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, had not been captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, book of Isaiah, had not, as history tells us, migrated the Caucasus Mountains into Scotland, Ireland, England, had not come across the ocean and settled the United States of America, if they had not been scattered, the Word of God would not have been sown in America. So you see, it always turns out good. He prepared this place. He's about to say that.
And I will bring them again. Place them
in a land flowing with milk and honey. This place was preserved. So see, we were scattered, but to sow. And what do we sow? One nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We sow the fact that Jesus is the Lord of America, and the Bible is the book, and we are God's people, and we are a free people.
For I had mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off.
I mean, isn't this better than being over there in Assyria? Yes.
For I am the Lord their God.
Jesus is the Lord our God.
And will hear them.
And God hears us when we call. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll start right there next time, but right now it's time for Mystery Moment, the Greater Truth. Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet. Question number 1. Dear Sherry, the minor prophet Habakkuk, what does his name mean? It means to measure. He's a type of the elect, the lightning arrows today. You are to measure and assess and study and watch and see if everybody's in their place. That's why we get together and we pray. And we are to measure and make sure that the Word of God is coming out where it should and that the church is solid. Dear Sherry Trumpet, the word siganoth is used in the book of Habakkuk. I know you're going to say it's Hebrew. What does it mean? It means to cry aloud and make a sign. It means firebrands elect, cry aloud. A sign means to say the Word of God. Cry aloud the Word of God and warn the people, watchmen on the wall. Cry aloud. The Antichrist is about to come. He will call himself Theosata. Cry aloud as though it were a sign. Dear Sherry, over and over in the Bible, I read that it says, wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. Am I supposed to sit here and twiddle my thumbs until he answers my prayer? No. Wait in the Hebrew means to entwine yourself with the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is a scroll, and it's on 2 pins. And the Word of God comes from heaven, the Word of God. It's on 2 pins. And as that word, those pins are unthreaded, unwoven, the thread of the Word of God comes down through God's elect, into God's elect, and entwines you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Got time for one more. Sherry, I've heard you say, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, that when we die, our spirit returns to God who gave it. I love that. But what is our spirit? All right. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. this is why Proverbs says the spirit of a man or woman will sustain their infirmity. The greater intellect, but it's talking about the mind of Christ, the greater things you can bear. That's why we see one person get a little toe ache and fall over, and another one goes through hell and high water forever and ever, and they just keep on blossoming. The intellect is the spirit. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. Your soul is yourself, your will, your emotions. Hallelujah. And may your spirit live forever. We'll have some more questions next time, but right now I want all of you to come and live with me in Father's house. The Spirit and the Bride say come, and I say come. We want you to be saved. We know that God, Emmanuel, with us came down here in the form of Jesus, shed his blood for the remission of sins, paid our sin debt, and arose from the dead. If you're not saved, pray this with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Omission.
Omission.
Commission.
Commission.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me into the greater truth.
Grow me into your greater truth.
Of your word.
Of your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
I thank you.
I thank you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and if you prayed that in a minute, feel free to leave a message on my voicemail. Say your name very clearly, and I'll add you to my daily intercessory prayer list. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus is alive, and he still heals. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, north, south, east, and west, Father God, let the resurrection life of Jesus flow out to all of your people. Wherever there is pain, pain stop in the name and the power of Jesus. I condemn the tongue, the word of pain. Stop. Jesus bore the pains. Sickness, disease, infirmities, be gone in Jesus' name. Mental diseases, be gone. Demons flee in Jesus' name. Bones be made strong. Ears hear. Eyes see. Brains come back into function. Pick up your wheelchair and walk in Jesus' mighty name. Walk and carry your wheelchair. Get up, get up, get up and be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Resurrection waves and beams of laser beams of Jesus rising with wings right where you are, into the blood core and the bone marrow, into the sinuses and the nostrils and the breathing and the lungs and the throat, the tongue and the backbone and spine, fibromyalgia, vertebrae, feet and toes, muscles and nerve, diabetes be gone. Blood vessels be made right in Jesus' name. Blood be made pure. Any arteries be opened there. Hearts be healed in Jesus' name. Stem cells be made whole in Jesus' name. Nerve damage be healed in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor. Now, if you had your miracle, you're still in the miracle business, feel free to call me and tell me that also. I want to invite all of you to come to my school every Sunday, 5 p.m., Word in Prayer. And those of you who are elect warriors and you know you're chosen from before the foundation, come on Wednesday for Wednesday Warriors Work. We are doing exactly what we're told to do. We're preparing for the battle. We're being trained to reign. And we're bringing down strongholds. And God bless you. Now, you know, everything you get is to give away. Everything you get is to give away. If you keep it, you will be a dead sprout and fall and die down onto the ground. So you want to give it away. When you give to God, he just, you know, share and you'll receive more. He just gives you more. So you want to go and tell this truth. I mean, start making it your mission. Don't just hear me again and not do it. This time, do it, okay? Laodicea says, that's a pretty word. I like what you say, and never does a thing. Did you win anybody to Jesus? Did you try? Did you lay hands on the sick? Did you give the last cent of your money? I did for God's work. What do you do? You're supposed to do the word of God. Okay. Well, as you can see, I can't stand lackadaisical. Neither can Jesus. He says lukewarm. He makes him sick to his stomach. I love you. Remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Now wait for my announcer to give you my telephone number. Wait for me to play a measure on the piano. It's very anointed of the Our Father. And if God is willing, I will see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to just survive.
Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
Christ, our God and our King, to Him we will sing. In His great mercy He has given us life. Now we can be called the children of God.
Oh. walked, I was speechless, but my heart pounded. And as we walked a little while, I knew that I'd been found. And here I am, no more disguised, no longer blinded. I see it clear, I am yours, I am yours. And you have breathtaking and breath-giving. And you
to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. our soul. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us all.
Boast in his wisdom, all the strong man, boast in his strength, let not